Diary, January 1876, Oakland, California. January 1st to January 12th, 1876, in Oakland and San Francisco. January 1st, 1876, Oakland, California. This day has been set apart for fasting, humiliation before God, and prayer. There was a conference and prayer meeting at 9 o'clock. This was a very interesting meeting. Many good testimonies were born. Elder Loughborough spoke to the people at 11 o'clock. My husband conducted the meeting in San Francisco. The day was cloudy and unpleasant. In the afternoon, I spoke to the people in Oakland from Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 5. January 2nd, 1876, Oakland. It has rained hard all day. Prayer meeting was held in the morning, business meetings through the day. My husband spoke to the people in Oakland, relating something of the state of the cause in California and the progress of the work. In the afternoon, the subject of a meeting house was introduced and the matter discussed. It was considered necessary to make arrangements to build a house of worship at once. A committee was appointed to see how much means could be raised for this purpose. The small and inconvenient hall in which we now assemble for religious worship is not fit to hold religious meetings in. Brother Chapman and his wife, and sisters Bush and Saunders, left for San Francisco, intending to return home the next day. Elder Loughborough, Elder Wagoner, Brother Harmon, Brother Chapman and wife, sisters Bush and Saunders, and Sister Moore we entertained at our house. Brother White spoke to the people Sunday evening. Elder Wagoner spoke in San Francisco. January 3rd, 1876. Oakland. A very unpleasant day. My husband is quite sick today. Care and anxiety are telling upon his health. Brother Harmon left this morning. I prepared matter for Mary Claw. January 6th, 1876. Oakland. Last night I dreamed of being in a schoolhouse. My husband was teaching. He was standing by one of his pupils who was writing. The teacher would direct, "Put your pen there. Make a heavier stroke here and a finer stroke there. There you are, commencing wrong again. Then, put your pen there." The copy proved to be a miserable affair. The teacher took up the book and, after looking at the copy, threw it down impatiently. "That copy is an entire failure, a botch work. I have taken particular pains to tell you just what to do, and after all my care, this is the work you have to show. If this is the best you can do, you might as well leave school at once." The young man was angry, and with flushed face arose and left the room. The young man that I had often seen in my dreams seemed to be by the side of the teacher. He said to the teacher, "You are making a mistake. You have dictated and ordered too much. You are to a very large degree responsible for that miserable copy. The best of writers would have failed under similar circumstances. If the boy had been left to himself and written without so much dictation, he could have produced a fair copy. He could not follow your directions without being confused and spoiling the copy. That poor boy has had too little encouragement and love and too much censuring for mistakes that are common to all. You make mistakes. You are an erring man. As you wish others to judge you mercifully, do the same to the erring. Give sympathy, give love, and you will find this power will soften and subdue the most wayward, and the greatest good will be realized upon your own heart and life. You will feel the subduing influence of the power of that love you exercise and cultivate toward others. You are a teacher. You should represent the great teacher in your sympathy and tender, pitying love. As you love, you will be loved. As you pity, you will receive the same. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Matthew 7, verse 2. Love is power. It will have a transforming influence, for it is divine. January 8, 1876. Oakland. In company with my son Edson and his wife, I crossed the bay to San Francisco. Sabbath school was reorganized. Edson was chosen superintendent, and Brother Chittenden assistant superintendent. I opened the services with prayer and spoke to the people 1 hour and a half in regard to Christian sympathy and love. I felt deeply in regard to our people's making more earnest efforts to keep themselves in the love of God, and the necessity of cultivating Christian courtesy and tenderness and love for one another, and carefully cherishing the tender plant of love. This plant is of heavenly growth and needs to be watered and cultured with kindly words and good acts, or it will become cold and wither and die. There were very many excellent testimonies born. Two strangers spoke with deep feeling. One was a physician who had been an infidel. He spoke particularly of the corruption of the churches to which he had once belonged. He had been behind the scenes, and he had become an infidel by witnessing so much iniquity in the church. He was convicted that this people, few in number and humble, were the people of God. The Methodist strangers spoke to good acceptance. I spoke forenoon and afternoon with great freedom. The Lord blessed the word spoken. About 4 o'clock, I returned to Oakland. January 9th, 1876. Oakland. I spent most of the day in writing. Felt quite weary and in need of rest from yesterday's labor. In the evening, I spoke in Oakland Church to an interested audience. A large number of outsiders were present and showed the most respectful attention. I had as good degree of freedom in speaking in regard to the lost sheep, the parable our Savior gave to his disciples. My husband spoke to a good congregation in San Francisco. He returned at about 11 o'clock. January 10th, 1876. Oakland. I arose at 5 a.m. Wrote 4 pages notepaper to Sister Ings. Sister Hall and my niece Mary Clough accompanied me in a walk about daylight. We purchased some things to eat. The air was cool and bracing. Read revised pages of testimony number 26. Wrote several pages of private testimony. After dinner, my husband, Miss Clough, and myself walked to town. Purchased 2 pairs of scissors for Addie and May Walling, and diary for myself. Brother and Sister Chittenden called on us. I learned for the first time they were building upon the lot joining the meeting house, through an understanding that we desired it. We assured them we had felt very reluctant for them to build so close to the church, because of the burdens this must bring upon them. Sister Chittenden felt also unwilling to live there. Brother Chittenden stated he had been offered $500 for his trade. We walked to Brother Jones's, called on them, and conversed in regard to the plans of Brother Chittenden. All agreed it was better for them not build on the church lot. January 11th, 1876. Oakland. We were blessed with another beautiful day. I devoted my time to writing, filling in the broken links in the history of my life. In the afternoon, walked to the city. The review came in the evening. Brother Diggins called from the city to obtain money, $2,000 from my husband at 10% interest. January 12th, 1876. Oakland. We have had another beautiful day. Arose at 5:30. Wrote to Green Valley to Brother Ross for boxes of apples. Wrote several pages to twin sister Lizzie. We decided to have the cellar dug at once for the foundation of our new house. Furniture man is looking at the bed set bought of Sister Willis. I accompanied my husband to the city. We called upon Brother Blake. We visited the Methodist Tract and Missionary Society, purchased books and cards for Sabbath school, and two books for May and Addie. We took the Hayes Valley cars for Blank. Our church workman was putting in the windows. These windows of colored glass look very beautiful. No need of blinds or weights. We called upon Sister Parker and remained 1 hour, then went to the church. Sister Chambers paid for signs to be sent to her friends. Meeting was held in church for election of trustees, Brother Diggins, Brother Chittenden, Brother Davis, and Sisters Roland and James. My husband made some remarks in reference to the dedication of the house of worship 1 week from next Sabbath and first day. He again spoke of the discouraging prospect in regard to having a house of worship 1 year ago. Now it was all completed, and he hoped it would soon be free from debt. We then returned across the bay to Oakland.